HarperCollins presents The Hard Road Out, One Woman's Escape from North Korea by Park Ji-hyun and Choi Se-rin. Translated by Sarah Baldwin. Read by Rosa Skoda. To my husband and children, and to the brave citizens of North Korea, Park Ji-hyun. To Soo-jin and Ji-min, for the humanity and light they have in them. To Charles, who believed in me when I did not. Choi Se-rin. Prologue. Ji-hyun's story could be my own. She is my age, speaks my language, loves kimchi, and is Korean. She fled to China to escape a dictatorship and protect her family before seeking asylum in Britain some 10 years ago. I came to London around the same time when my husband's job brought us here, and I've been here ever since. I haven't swum across the Tumen River or faced down the Gobi Desert like Ji-hyun has, but I have crossed many borders in my time. And each time, like a tortoise with its shell, I have carried my home. That is, my Korean identity, with me from one country to the next. Ji-hyun is from the north and I am from the south, but we share a single identity. We are both Korean, and that is what saves us. Ji-hyun speaks of her childhood, her family, prison camps, slavery, and escape. I write of my need to connect two lives, to create a link, to repair. Who would she and I have become had our country not been divided? Writing brings us together. As Ji-hyun tells me about her life in North Korea, I take on her perspective. I access her inner world. I become her. Our experiences are not the same. But childhood, death, suffering, and dreams, these we share. Ji-hyun and I meet for the first time in 2014 in Manchester during the filming of a documentary by Amnesty International. An interpreter friend of mine has to back out at the last minute and asks me to stand in for her. The job is to interview Ji-hyun in Korean and transcribe her answers in English for the short film The Other Interview, which is scheduled to come out soon. I am nervous. Not only because I'm not a professional interpreter, but also because the idea of speaking to a North Korean makes me uneasy. Isn't that risky? Am I allowed to engage with a North Korean citizen? What if somebody reports me to the embassy of South Korea in London for spying? I am still mulling over these questions as I fill out the paperwork for Amnesty International. Driven by some unnamed feeling, I accept the job. In the car carrying the Amnesty team from London to Manchester, the director brings me up to speed on the project, but the movie in my head is an entirely different one. I picture my childhood bedroom in our apartment in Seoul. On the wall is a poster showing a fist against a bright red background, with the words, "Down with Communists," in big letters above it. The poster won me second prize in the anti-communism poster competition organised by my primary school. It's signed and dated, Se-rin, 1976. I hear the shrill sound of the sirens that signal, on the 15th of every month, the start of the simulated attack, a practice established in 1953, at the end of the Korean War. During the simulation, life stops. No more cars in the streets, no more children in the schoolyards. People in their homes hurriedly descend to the bomb shelter in the basement of their apartment building. Seoul becomes a ghost town. Then, 20 minutes later, life begins again as though nothing has happened. And the 15th of the following month, the same sirens and helicopters, the same deserted streets. It's a routine, like any other. As the child of a diplomat, I was keenly aware of the presence of that other Korea. When we lived in Africa, for instance, when I was 12, there were three or four South Korean families in the city where we lived, all there on diplomatic posts. And there were probably as many, if not fewer, North Korean families. They were hard to spot, except for the occasional glimpse in the supermarket, because they rarely came out of their homes. When they did, it was always in a group. It was the first time in my life I'd seen North Koreans. But despite our proximity, the boundaries separating us remained absolute. Under no circumstances were we to talk to them. I was to hold tight to my mother's arm and stay close to the shopping cart lest I be kidnapped. When our cars passed in the street, I would scowl at them.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?